Blog Talk Radio.
Few Americans truly understand our prison system.
Prisoners under the 13th Amendment essentially work as
in a form of neo-slavery.
End mass incarceration.
Millions for prisoners, human rights.
March on Washington, August 2017.
No Shackles Radio.
Program. I am your host, Crystal. I am joined by my co-host this evening. We have Mama Condi on the line. Good evening, Mama Condi.
Greetings, greetings, everyone.
All right. And in addition to Mama Condi, we also have Sister Layla Aziz.
Peace and blessings, everyone. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. Welcome, everyone, again, once again, to the No Shackles Radio program. As I mentioned before, I am Crystal, and here at the No Shackles Radio program, we are definitely about promoting the March on Washington to abolish the 13th Amendment. We're about protecting prisoners' human rights and bringing attention to the violations of prisoners' human rights. And we're definitely here in an attempt to re-educate the masses, not only about the 13th Amendment, but its ramifications as well. And so this particular evening's focus is entitled The People's Platform. And so we definitely know that it is the people who are behind what we're doing, and we know that there's so much great work being done out there in the community, and people have stories, experiences, and so we definitely wanted to give you an opportunity to share that with all the listeners today. And so definitely, again, the show is entitled The People's Platform. We will be conducting or holding this platform every other week here, and so definitely this is for all groups, individuals, to come here to enlighten others about what's going on in your community, to discuss any reform issues. We're all in this together, so whatever individual issues we see, we want to bring them here to the table and give you an opportunity. This is also an opportunity to share your experiences, to shout out a loved one, to let them know that you're thinking about them. To ask questions, to share, again, your experiences. So this program, again, is really all about you. And so definitely we have lots of new local representatives. I'm sure that several of them are on the call this evening. And definitely just as a reminder, if you would like to get in on the call this evening, if you do have something to say, please press the 1 on your keypad, and that will add you to our queue here. And so definitely, please be mindful of the time frame as well. We do have lots of people that would like to say something this evening. But before we get into that portion of our program this evening, I did just want to take a moment to give you a few updates on the planning that we're working so very hard for the March on Washington. We do have the date settled for the 19th of August next year, and so that's great to officially actually have a date for that. At our national level, we definitely want to recognize and welcome new additions to our National Organizing Committee. We do have some representatives now from the IWW/IWOC. We also have Sister Kalitha Verudi with George Jackson University, as well as the People's Brigade. And we do have Jennifer Dalton that has recently joined our national committee. And so once again, we do want to so graciously welcome them and being willing to really add to what we've got going on. I do want to give a shout-out to Todd, who is our social media project manager. He has been, I'm sure several of you have interacted with him there on our Facebook page, but he works very hard for us as well, so definitely want to give a shout-out to Ty for that. And I mentioned some local representatives just a moment ago, and, you know, they're such a big part of what we're doing. You know, these people who have stepped up and been willing to get the mission, to take up the cause, to represent the march there in their area. So we're very appreciative to have lots of new local representatives here. And so I did just want to take a moment to recognize those individuals. And please, if you're near any of these local representatives, please get on board with what they're doing. But I did want to mention, I'll start off with Marissa Garcia. Welcome, shout out to her. She's out in Santa Barbara, California. We also want to welcome Margareta Taylor, who is there in Tampa Bay, Florida. We have Rachel Hubbard in Richmond, Virginia. Anna Murillo in Riverside, California. We also have Michelle Massett in San Diego, California. We have Alicia Taylor in Jackson, Mississippi. We have Maria Cervantes in Lincoln, Nebraska. Sunshine Jones in Lancaster, Palmdale, California. Shelley Roark in Lima, Ohio. Anna Green in Loveland, Colorado. Olga Garcia in Pasadena, Texas. Andrea Ford in Omaha, Nebraska. Connie Sanchez in Childress, Texas. Shanita Wooten in Irving, Texas. Swader Adrian in Fredericksburg, Virginia. Heather Walker in Bristol, Virginia. Jennifer McClendon in Piscataway, New Jersey. And Eva Marie Vega in Kissimmee, Florida. So once again, so excited to have these local representatives on board with us. They're doing great things out here in the community, and that is definitely something that we are continually in need of, is representation out in the community. In addition to that, I would also like to send a shout-out to those who have made contributions and donations to keep the work that we're doing alive. You know, fundraising, that's always something that we are constantly looking at for ways to increase our funds. And, you know, everything has a fee for it, whether it be the P.O. box and the mailings and newsletters that we send out, you know, our web page, et cetera. So definitely if you are able to contribute or donate to our cause, I would encourage you to do that. Currently we are doing that through our PayPal account. But definitely you can always email millionsforprisonersmarch@gmail.com, and we can get you more information about that. Carrying on with the March update, several people have been asking about, you know, T-shirts and different things like that. I am pleased to announce that our shirts, they are being designed, and so they should be for sale soon. So definitely be on the lookout for more information about that. I was asked to definitely just make mention and note that we are definitely recruiting or looking for lobbyists. And I do just want to place a challenge out there. We are always working to build relationships with our lawmakers and different things like that. So just as a request, if you do know of any sort of congressmen or lawmakers that may be friendly to abolishing the 13th Amendment, please send their names and contact information over to the Millions of Prisoners March Gmail account. Definitely, we want to use all of these names as a to make a collective effort to reach out to our lawmakers, you know, and so it's going to take that united front to really make that possible. But definitely, there's always ways that you can get involved. We are heavily into our organizing process. Lots more work to be done, but we have accomplished, I'll just say that we are a long way from where we started, so and that's all a testament to the support of the people that we have had behind this mission right here. But definitely there are plenty of ways that you can get involved. Contact us, and we will get you started. So thank you so much. At this point, we will get right in. You know, we will open up the lines to those. Just as a reminder, please press the 1 on your dial pad, and that will serve as an indicator to those who would like to jump right into our people's platform this evening. But before I do that, I did want to see if any of my co-hosts had any sort of announcements or things that they wanted to say.
This is Mama Condi. In Columbus, Ohio today, the young brother that was murdered, shot in the back by a white cop here locally, the young brother's funeral was today. So today was a day of mourning in Columbus. At least there were many of us who honored that. And the family made the funeral open to the public. Thank you all for listening.
That is, and you know, that's interesting that you bring that up, because on last week's broadcast, you know, we mentioned that situation and the details of that were still, you know, murky at that time. And so just within the last week, new details emerged, and definitely this young child was, you know, murdered, as it turns out. And so it's such a sad state that we are really in right now. And so thank you for the update, Mama Condi.
Thank you.
But at this point, thank you. We will definitely open up the lines to our callers. Press the 1 on your dial pad and let us know what you've got going on, either in your life or your community or the situation or things surrounding your loved ones out here in the criminal justice system. Okay. We've got a caller, last 4 digits, 8685. We'll open up your lines now.
How are you all doing? I just wanted to do a small announcement to remind the everyone that's listening, Ms. Charlotte, tonight, obviously in a protest society area, definitely a call out for everyone to join forces and participate in this particular rally or protest that's been taking place in the Charlotte location. I just want to kind of put that out there. That's it. Just want to put that out.
Okay. We were having a little static with your call, but the brother on the line did remind us about the ongoing strikes there in the Charlotte, North Carolina area. And so it's been
in the Charlotte area. an ongoing protest.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I said an ongoing protest in the area.
About the brother that was shot.
Yeah,
about
the brother that was shot, yeah. Okay.
Thank you, caller.
Okay. Let's see, and it looks like we've got a caller calling in. Last four digits is 4127. Your line is open. Again, your line is open. Okay. All right.
Might have to ask the caller with the static to mute himself.
Absolutely. Okay, it looks like we lost that caller right there. Okay, we will keep it going. Definitely please press the 1 to be added to our queue here. Again, this is for individuals, organizations, groups, to share your stories and your experiences. And so I do have the lines open.
And while you're waiting for a caller, Crystal, I just wanted to state that in Charlotte, the video of one of the cams was just released about 30 minutes ago of one of the police cams.
Mm-hmm.
After the wife of the gentleman released her cell phone video, there is a lot of talk going on. The fact that if he had a gun or not, it's been demonstrated he didn't point it. I do believe that all people in the United States of America have a Second Amendment right. But even further than that, it looks like there wasn't a gun. People are still framing these videos. They're looking at gloves fall out of one of the officer's pockets. But while they're falling and you're looking at that video, you see another officer take the gun and from under his foot and slide it. It's some stuff going on. So everybody just be cognizant and look at the video. We're all intelligent enough to look at something, and we're reasonable people to see what actually is happening. It's extremely frightening to me that this type of injustice is occurring. Thank you, Crystal.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Is this the one where the white woman cop shot the black man?
No, ma'am. This is the one in Charlotte, North Carolina, where
it's
going on. Yes, ma'am. That video was just released today, about 30 minutes ago.
Wow.
Please. Yes, ma'am. And
this is bringing back some memories here. That's the kind of dirty stuff they used to do back in my generation. They plant a gun on us and make us look like we did something we didn't do.
It is. And there's also a young Caucasian kid in South Carolina, I believe, who was unarmed. I've been watching the police murder numerous unarmed people over and over and over again. Now, we know anytime you look at injustice, when Alanos Equiato was on a slave ship, he knew he was going to get it because of how the whites treated each other. So you're seeing, of course, it's more of us who are being murdered, but you're seeing people of every color who are basically, we all need to stand up. It's time to say enough is enough. We cannot have slave patrols. We cannot have slave patrols that are out in our community and they're oppressing people based on color and class, and we are okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
It is time to stand up.
I agree with you. So, again, callers, definitely, if you have a something to contribute to our program this evening toward the People's Platform, this show is really all about you, and so the time of the show is really dependent upon you. So I will allow, once again, people to get in their calls or their statements or just represent someone, a loved one in their area. Again, press the 1 minute call when you're done.
And did y'all see how the brother in Tulsa he was shot, and the white cop said he was reaching in his car for something. But that was impossible because his blood was spread all over the window. So he couldn't have been reaching in anywhere.
The window was up.
Right.
Nice.
And then
nice.
In North Dakota, they're sicking dogs on Turtle Islanders. I was like, oh, my God. We really going to revisit this crap?
It's a, you know, it's a terrible time that we're living in right now. It's been a emotionally challenging week for a lot of people with the news going on. Things are very at a heightened point. Police brutality, and you know, it's a lot to deal with. We do have a caller on the line calling in. Last four digits of your telephone number is 3034. I will go ahead and open up your line. Again, the last four digits are 3034. Your line is open.
Hi, this is Andrea from Omaha.
Good evening, Andrea.
Hey, how are you?
Welcome,
I just wanted
Andrea.
To, thank you. I went to a conference yesterday, actually, here in the Omaha area on mass incarceration, and I really learned a lot about what was going on in the state here. And one thing I did notice is there was nobody talking about the 13th Amendment. And so when I was sitting at tables and stuff, I was, like, you know, telling them about Inmate Lives Matter that I started and also about the March for Prisoners and stuff like that, and got to meet a senator. And I was actually surprised, though, by the amount of support and the number of people that were there, because I had a hard time really connecting with people here in Nebraska. So, and then we had one of the senators there also. Well, to begin with, while we were starting the getting ready to all come in and start the conference, apparently somebody at the bank across the street had called the police and said there was a suspicious black man roaming around the bank. And then they came over to the conference, and you know, the guy that put on the conference, he's from Black Men United, and they come up and they were, like, questioning him about what he was doing. And I was like, he looks suspicious wearing a suit over here at a conference center, you know. And, I mean, it's just like, I mean, it's really hard to understand, because I'm like, what was suspicious about a bunch of people meeting at a conference center? Isn't that what the place is for? You know, and I thought it was interesting that we were having a conference about mass incarceration and then this is going to happen, like, right at our conference. So, you know, that's probably the first time that I've ever been at a place where I just blatantly seen that happen in front of my face. And, you know, I'm just shocked by that, because I don't understand. That doesn't make any sense to me. And, you know, it was heartbreaking, really, because, you know, we're fighting for, you know, our families that are prisoners, and you know, we're business people there doing a conference, and it really doesn't matter what you're wearing, what you're doing. I mean, because the man had a suit on, you know, it wasn't like people are always like, well, people shouldn't walk around wearing that or looking like that or looking suspicious. I'm like, you can look suspicious in a business suit. I'm pretty sure it doesn't matter what you're wearing, you know?
So, to help you understand that, sweetie, I'd like to offer you a small suggestion. There is a female author. Her name is Dr. Sharcy McIntyre, and she's written a book. It's called Criminalizing a Race. It'll help you gain enormous insight into how that could happen and why. I thank you.
Right.
And
thank
I think
so much for that,
bringing that up. Yeah, bringing that up and bringing that to light. There was a police officer in San Diego who sued the police officers union and the police department, saying that when he was a police officer in my community, they were told that doing basic routine traffic stops, they have to do a full background check on the people that they've stopped. When doing basic traffic stops in affluent areas, They were told to just make sure their license was official, their license, they had an accurate license, and let them go. That in itself causes for a whole community that is really a black and a brown community to have to sit there for. I one time was stopped because I turned my lights on when exiting the gas station, and I sat in the rain for an hour while they did a full background check. I've seen people searched. The passengers are searched. When you do things like that, because basic what they see are criminal things such as possession of marijuana, you're going to have exponentially more people that go to jail and prison for these things if you stop and frisk people of a certain color over 50 times more. It's not that these people, my people, are criminal people. It's that the basic items that every American has at one point in their life, you will be caught with because stepping outside of your house is a stop and frisk. There's no constitutional rights. And that's why I'm so happy about this movement, the 13th, abolishing slavery from the 13th Amendment, because as we're seeing, it is not legal for a black man, whether he has a felony or not, to have a gun. That's the Second Amendment. It is not legal for a black man or a brown man to say, don't search me when I haven't done anything. Isn't that our Fourth Amendment? And all of this rests into the 13th Amendment. It's not legal, but it is legal because we are considered slaves.
Very well said. Very well said. And Andrea, I thank you for calling in, sharing your story, your experience with us. And those are the sad realities, you know, just as Sister Layla alluded to. And I have also had the opportunity to read through some of that book, Mama Connie, that you mentioned, and it was very eye-opening for me. So definitely a good recommendation.
Yeah.
We do have
Sister
Shanti
is excellent.
We do have a caller calling from 5659. Again, the last four digits of your telephone number is 5659. And I am opening your line now.
Hello. My name is Donald Griffin. I'm Donald Griffin. I'm calling from Brooklyn, New York. I'm on parole, and my crime happened 30 years ago. And I'm, like, being stigmatized as someone who can't or is most likely to offend again. Simply because during one of the robberies, I looked in a woman's bra for cash and no other activity, and I'm, you know, I'm going through so much, I'm going to maintain my resolve to stay a free man, but it's a lot of stigmatizing going on these days, and I notice, and I know that I it shouldn't be, but when it comes to dealing with the police, we really got to be mindful of our, you know, actions towards them and you know, let them, you know, do what they need to do and not deal, let anger be consuming us because it often leads to very bad consequences, needlessly. So, I see what's going on. I think it's sad, but I don't know. I think the best thing to do is keep our composure when we are stopped by them, and I think that will, you know, be in our best interest, you know, as a people, to just try to realize that, you know, they're scared, they're also angry, and they're hateful. So we gotta think very cautiously in how we deal with them. That's the best thing I can say for those, you know, concerned about having to deal with, you know, officers when they do approach us. I just wanted to put that out there. Hello? That's it.
Yes.
That's all I
yes.
can say.
Thank you.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You. Thank you. And, you know, that's a great point that you make because for so long people were told that if you just do these things and behave in these certain non-threatening manners, that, you know, everything will be okay. You know, we just go through the process and the procedures. But it seems like now just anything or nothing at all constitutes statute as a reason to be harshly dealt with. I mean, in all things that we do, we want to be mindful of our safety and, you know, the repercussions and all of those things and what's just smartest and best for us to do. But definitely there are some things that you can control, and there are some things that are just the way they are and beyond your control. Thank you so much for that. Looks like we have another caller in on the line. Last four digits of your phone number are 7935. Again, the last four of your telephone number is 7935. Your line is open. All right. We may have lost that caller. Okay. All right, so we will move right along here. Again, press the 1 on your keypad if you do have questions. We have a caller calling in now. Last 4 digits is 6726. Your line is open. Again, the last 4 digits of your telephone number is 6726.
Hi, my name is Felicia Baker, and I'm calling from Orlando, Florida. And thank you so much for the radio show.
Thank you, Felicia.
I have a couple of legal questions. My husband's been incarcerated for 26 years now. And I just wanted to know, he went in for robbery with a weapon, and they gave him a life sentence. And that was back in 1989. And I just want to know, why is there so many disproportionate sentences, meaning that the non-capital offense, they never eligible for parole, but the capital offense is, meaning they can be eligible for parole within 15 years. And I don't understand that. He's been DR3 for 16 years or more. Because he didn't take the plea deal, he wanted to take it to trial. And this is what he did. This is what his conviction was, life sentence.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying basically it wasn't a murder, it was a robbery, and why is the sentence
over? Right.
That's a
right.
question.
Right. They first charged him with robbery with a firearm, but then that was then a weapon produced, and then they listened it to robbery with a weapon, and yeah, he got a life sentence. And plus, he still gets game time. He gets 20
right.
days a month. So he has so much game time because he hasn't been in trouble. He hasn't had in DR. Between like almost 18 years now.
Are you part of the local organizing committee for the Million Prisoner March in your area?
I'm on with Margarita Denny. That's how I got the information from her to listen to the program.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Taylor. It's just so many questions I have as far as the legal system. I don't understand it and why, you know. And then in 2007, they granted his motion, and then they turned around and denied one part, which is they didn't want to transport him to court. So he ended up, he has not been to court since. And I have a lot of other legal technicalities that, you know, that I found in his case, and it's just so wrong. You know, it's just so wrong the way the laws are.
It sounds like that. I'm going to just, I'm going to paraphrase, but Comrade George Lester Jackson said that the majority of prisoners with extreme sentences are there for economic crimes. So that shows you the importance more than life that this country has, correct? Their money,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right, right.
All good that you are connected to the people with the local organizing committee, because this movement is directly dealing with the constitutional amendment. Also, as you guys
mm-hmm.
Come together, there are going to be probably state laws that you're going to want to attack. Because that's going to be a state law for, unless he's in the feds. Is he a state prisoner or a federal prisoner?
Yes, he's state.
Yes, so those are state laws. And those are your politicians who have given those enhancements and made it where a person who jaywalks can get longer time than any. It's not about public safety, we know this.
Right.
And really tough when you have a group of people, a population where the economic system does not embrace them, but yet it penalizes more harshly for economic crimes than anything else. So we know what it is. That's why it's legal to have a prisoner as a slave. Right?
That's so true. Yeah, that's what they want. But, I know we serve a mighty God, and I know one day that isolated state, he's walking out of there. You know, we just
that's
got
right.
to hold on and come together as a one, you know, as a group of people who's not afraid to
that's
fight.
Right.
You know, we've been
right.
quiet for so long, now it's time for us to fight. And
yes,
we can
ma'am.
Do it peacefully.
Maybe. Regardless, it's enough. Enough is enough.
Yes, ma'am.
We hope to
yes.
do it peacefully. I'm with
yes.
you because enough is enough. But slavery is not okay. Period.
That's true. That is so true.
This is
definitely.
Mama Condi.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to, you know, advise the caller that definitely you, if you could, you know, if you could email some of those questions that you have, we do have people that assist us more so with our legal questions, and you can email askprisonlegal@gmail.com, and that collective, they, I'm not going to say that they can, you know, answer something for 100% surety, but they definitely can give you some good starting points, people to, things to consider, and people that you may want to be in contact with. But as always,
okay.
you know, we always want to definitely encourage people to connect with your local advocacy group. And so they do a lot of good, great work out there in the communities, and a lot of them do tackle those specific issues that you mentioned. And so I would definitely encourage you to do that as well. Mama Connie?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
My humble question is this. When you said, in the very beginning you said, he decided not to plea bargain. He decided he was going to go ahead and take it to court.
Yes, ma'am.
At that point, he was guilty in the minds of the court.
Okay.
They're not. Yeah, you know, not plea bargaining is a crime. So he was guilty right out of the gate because he refused to plea bargain.
Okay.
So. You've got quite a bit of ground to stand on. He's got this history that is excellent, bar none. I don't know whether it's you or him filing in court on his behalf, but I am prayerful that you have kept excellent notes, even
yes, ma'am.
If he couldn't. I'm praying that you kept excellent notes, because all of those are going to be points, and you can start doing this research on your own now. Every
okay.
point that you have, that you've documented, there's a law that corresponds with it. Do the research that corresponds with each point that you've documented, including plea bargaining, that you want to start way back in the beginning,
okay.
so that, and you're one of the best charges I've found when you're coming up against them is fraud.
Okay.
One, it has I think a 1 year. You have to check in the state you're in, but it has a minimum of 1 year in most states, and on a federal level, the minimum time limit is 4 years. And
mm-hmm.
since his case is still going, the statute of limitations hasn't even started to run on his case. It starts to
okay.
run from the time y'all file against them. And don't think you can't file against them and win because you can't. I mean, and not win because you can't. I've done it.
Okay.
I know others
okay.
who have done it.
And I'm going to blow your mind with this here. The biggest thing was went the state attorney, the assistant state attorney. She was a student. She was just a certified legal intern. But she didn't get certified until December of the 12th, 1990. She didn't get bar certified until October the 4th, 1991. She tried and prosecuted his case. And she didn't have any oath or anything. We have all this documentation too. But every time
you gotta
I
put
see
it in the
attorney,
form of an affidavit. Put it in the form of an affidavit with the law that supports the point you're making. And you can do simultaneous filings. You don't have to only file it in state court, even though that's where his case was and is.
Mm-hmm.
You can go ahead and file it in state Supreme Court, appellate court, federal Supreme Court, and you can do all this simultaneously. Federal Supreme Appellate, and then you can go outside of that box and file in federal district and federal circuit courts.
Okay.
And you list everything they did wrong and the law that supports your statement. Watch what happens.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
All
right.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for that question. It was a very good question. Thank you for all the responses that we received. And I do wish you much success in getting that looked into. We also have another caller on the line here. Last four digits of your telephone number is 2866. Again, the last four digits of your telephone number is 2866. Your line is open.
Hello, my name is April. I'm from Tampa. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you.
I wanted
Greetings, April.
Thank you. Greetings. I wanted to make a comment because I'm listening and I'm very intrigued by all of the things that are being said. And I've noticed because my fiancé has been diligently, and I have to tell you, since he got sentenced, has been diligently in the law library, looking up case law, filing motions, doing a lot of things on his own that got him counsel. And he's in those final processes of hopefully finally getting the justice that he would so deserve because they suppressed evidence. And one of the things he has noticed and he has relayed to me is that he's noticing a lot of inmates aren't reading their cases after they get incarcerated. They are being angry and just filled with disappointment and discouragement, and they're sitting in these cells, and they're letting their clock tick away. And their ability to file on the state level and the federal level, they're not reading their casework. He's come across in cases of roommates in the past where the judge and the prosecutor were in cahoots and just sentenced someone to 25, 30 life, and there was actually, like, misfilings. There was suppression of evidence in some of their cases. There was even mix-up in dates that allowed them to get longer sentences. And I just wanted to encourage all the loved ones on the line, even the inmates, if you're on the line, to make sure you're reading your cases. Because like she just said, when that clock starts ticking, time runs out and you're stuck. And you're stuck there to be a slave, basically. And I just want to encourage everyone to read thoroughly, even if you don't understand. Get the dictionary, go to legal aid, have someone help you so that you don't run out of time to file on your behalf because that clock is ticking. And when that time runs out, it's even harder to get a commutation or a reduction in your sentence because they basically have gotten you. And I want to make sure that everyone is reading those paperwork, because they will sit you in prison as long as you allow them to pull the wool over your eyes.
Thank you.
That is so on point. That is excellent, excellent recommendation. We hear it all the time. So often people do not fully understand their charges even. And so many people do kind of lay down and accept things for the way that they are. But definitely, prisoners, if you are on the line and listening, those were, you know, wonderful things that you should be doing. We do have a growing coalition of jailhouse lawyers. They're actually called Jailhouse Lawyers Speak, and this is a group of prisoners behind the wall, and that is, you know, a portion of their mission is to educate themselves, educate their families, their loved ones, and most importantly, other prisoners behind the wall. And, you know, becoming knowledgeable about the laws and how they pertain to you is one of the best weapons, you know, that you have to really properly be informed and fight your case. So excellent point made there, definitely.
Thank and you. I'd like to ride the tail of that suggestion that you made. You said your husband lives in the law library, and that's excellent. One of the top books that I would recommend in the law library is Black's Law Dictionary. It is excellent, and it saves you a lot of research, about 45%. It does for you. It actually, in giving a definition for a word, it'll cite a case or it'll cite the law that supports the definition of a word you're looking for. It's the most wonderful thing. And I noticed that things have changed tremendously from when I was incarcerated to the way things are now, 17, 18 years later. There's a lot of technology in the prisons that weren't there. There was no access to a law library when I was there that is now. If they can get online and they can't afford the Black's Law or it's not in their library, online there's a law dictionary called Bouvier, and it's free. And it'll help them, so that when they don't understand what they're reading in their case, they can look it up in these law dictionaries, and they break it down very well in layman's terms. So that would be my tailgate to your comment, and I thank you very much.
Thank you for that response, Mama Condi. Moving along, we do have caller last for you. Again, the last 4 digits of your cell phone number is 4482. Your line is open.
Yes, how you doing? My name is Kevin Henderson, and I'm calling out of San Diego. First of all, I want to applaud all the things that you guys are doing. I applaud this movement. But I want to say, as someone who has experienced incarceration, I spent 18 years of my life in prison. So I'm familiar with what goes on and the modern day slavery that's happening today. I want to talk a little bit about what moving forward, what we need to be doing, and what we're doing here in San Diego today. It's so important. There's a lot of feedback. Is everybody? Someone is
Someone's line.
But
line.
I hear it too. If everyone can mute their line.
Yeah, everybody can mute their line. But we have to move forward as a unified front. And what we're doing is we've been working with a lot of folks who are serious about change, serious about incarceration, serious about putting us in positions, and we have to vote. And so we've been fortunate, Layla and I, we've been fortunate to work with and an organization called the Hip Hop Caucus. If you don't know about the Hip Hop Caucus, you need to learn about it. And the gentleman was on the line as well. His name is Jordan Hustle, and his last four is 5074. And I hope that he's able to speak. But I want to tell you what we're doing. We're trying to go inside of the prisons. I don't know how it varies state to state, but here in California, we're trying to go inside the prisons and the jails, because there's a status that allows people to vote, and they don't know that. Sometimes our people who are incarcerated or in jail don't know that they still have a right to vote. And before Jordan comes on, Layla, could you just talk a little bit about that?
I can, bro.
Hello?
I muted my phone because I didn't know if I didn't want any feedback to be in. But this is a California. Now, remember, we're nationwide, everyone. So you have to know the rules and the laws of your state. So in California, the only people who cannot vote are people that are in prison or people that are on parole. If you're off of parole, you can vote. If you're in county jail, you can vote. Right now, we're looking at a bill just passed that because we had something called realignment in California, which took prisoners out of prison and put them in county jail. This assembly bill, which was introduced by Shirley Weber, passed, and it will allow all of those people that they say should have been in prison vote because they're in county jail. What we are going to do is go into all of the California jails, starting with San Diego, and register them to vote through the absentee ballot system, which means they don't have to have a poll there. They can mail in their vote. That is a strategy that they're using with poor communities also, the absentee ballot, where they actually, after they register to vote, they have voting parties in communities where everyone completes their absentee ballot and they mail them. So Los Angeles jail has so many people in it. I believe they have 17,000 inmates. They were just in the New York Times because it's the largest jail in the world. That jail in itself can swing any local election. In San Diego, because so many people are from our communities that are in jail, the poor communities, the communities of, I don't like that statement of color, the black and brown communities, that we can swing any state or local election. And so we're going to where the numbers are and getting thousands of numbers at one time. Thank you for all you do, Kevin. And Jordan, thank you for all you do.
And if I may, I would love, if we can, I don't know if we can or not, but the person who is running the Hip Hop Caucus, his name is Jordan Hustle, and he's on the line, and his last four is 5074. If we can allow him just a couple of minutes to speak, and please use him. Use him.
Okay. Caller 5074, if you're on the line.
The notification. Excuse the noise behind me. I'm actually at the L.A. County Fair doing a voter registration pop-up event. So in essence, I'm actually the director of strategic partnership. I work for an organization called the Hip Hop Caucus, run by President and CEO Reverend Lennox Yearwood, and we are a nonpartisan progressive organization that partners politics and hip hop. So it's a nationwide organization. We are actually in the middle of our California plan right now. But what we do is we get young people on board, people of all ages on board, by using cultural expression of celebrities, quote unquote, whether it's a local celebrity, you know, local hairstylist, local barber who has a huge following in the city, or it's as big as Vic Mensa and Kiki Palmer and Wiz Khalifa, Ty Dolla Sign, to name a few. So what we have done over the past few years, we own a voter registration initiative called Respect My Vote. 2008, it was headed by T.I. 2012, it was 2 Chainz. And this year, Power 105, Charlamagne Tha God is our lead spokesperson. So what we do is we get artists on board. They give us PSAs. We do concerts and events all across the country throughout the registration campaign. But our initiative does not stop when it comes to just election season. What our biggest thing that we're noticing is that there's a huge distaste in the presidential campaign this year, but people need to be involved in understanding that, you know, there are things all the way down the ballot that affect them from a local standpoint, and that's what my attack is, bringing in special or strategic partnerships. I'm able to use my relationships from the music industry and a lot of young street relationships that I have being from Chicago. I'm able to get the young people on board that have hundreds of thousands and even millions of followers. I'm also in a relationship with the daughter of Nas, so I'm able to have another into some rooms where I can start getting people on board that really move the masses. So when I actually met Kevin, I was on tour with Wiz Khalifa and Snoop Dogg, and we actually had our Respect My Vote booth inside of every venue, every tour stop. So we moved with the whole Snoop Dogg and Wiz Khalifa tour, and we registered voters across the country. In the middle of that tour, we decided to start a plan in California where we would do pop-up events all across L.A. every single day to register local people. So we, like, call and get, you know, clearance or whatever we have to get, and then we just pop up at heavily crowded spots, and then we, you know, collect voter registrations. Tomorrow we actually have a concert, just did a deal with Tidal, so we have a Ty Dolla $ign and Friends concert that will be streamed live on Tidal. It's a free stream because there's a Respect My Vote hitch to it. It's actually a Respect My Vote concert. So you guys can actually, you know, tune in to tidal.com/dolladay, D-O-L-L-A-D-A-Y, and kind of get an idea of some of the dope stuff that we're able to do across the country with a lot of these stars that we have on board. In regards to San Diego, I'm extremely interested in seeing how we can get into the county jails because we have some influence in L.A. Through some of the cultural leaders and some of the gang leaders. To where we can take this example and we can actually, use it in Oakland. We can use it in Sacramento. We can use it in L.A. Sacramento is facing a lot of suppression or oppression when it comes to the disenfranchised, whether it's black, white, brown, Asian, whatever it is across the board, because the FBI actually does a lot of their field testing, a lot of their weaponry testing, and that's, you know, where one of their hubs is in Sacramento, with it being the state capital. So I'm extremely, one, humbled to be on this call with you guys. I truly appreciate Kevin for giving me the heads up. And moving forward, anything that we can do to bring people together, I'm all for it. Organized people beat organized money any day of the week. So as long as we're legitimately coming together and we're not bumping heads, and we're strategizing to really help people that are affected, then I'm 100% on board. My people are 100% on board. Every cultural leader, every gang leader, anybody that I can bring to the table, I'm willing to bring to the table, along with any other aid and assistance that anybody may need. But, you know, now is the time for, you know, movement. I feel like we've been strategizing for decades, and now we need to actually figure out what that next step is and who's going to make that next step. And anybody that's not going to make it, you know, needs to, you know, quiet down and not speak up so much. So I'm honored, I'm humbled, and I look forward to everything that we will be doing. But we have to understand that this fight does not stop November 9th. Whoever wins the presidential campaign, you know, we still need to be voting and registering voters from January 1 of 2017. We also need to understand that there's a huge issue going on in the Supreme Court. They've dumbed it down with the death of Justice Scalia. There's still an open seat, and they still don't want Obama picking the judge. So that's another issue that we need to be pressing, because that's something that's going to affect our kids and our kids' kids and our great grandkids if the right person doesn't get into that Supreme Court seat. So I think there are a lot of things that we need to, you know, talk about, and a lot of things that, on our end, we're ready to mobilize and move now. So hopefully with the assistance of Kevin and everybody in San Diego and everybody else that's on this call nationally, I'm sure that we have leadership committees in your cities. So it would be great to partner you guys individually with our leadership committees in your specific cities, and then we can take over regionally, and then we can take over the whole country. My personal email is Jordan Eversley. Well, I have a business email. I'll give you guys a separate email. Jordan Eversley, Jordan Eversley, the number 85 at Gmail, Jordan Eversley 85 at Gmail. And then Kevin has my business email that I don't give out frequently. So anything that, you know, anybody wants to get in touch, let's do that. Let's stay in contact, and I hope to hear from everybody soon.
Definitely.
Thank you for
we appreciate that, brother. Thank you for, you know, definitely we will get with Layla, get in touch with you. Let's, as you mentioned, this definitely is a movement, and it is for the people and about the people, and it is a collective effort, all hands on deck. And so I do appreciate you, you know, all the good work that you're out here doing in the communities. And so definitely we will be in touch to see how we can join together to make it happen. All right, we have another caller on the line. Thank you very much. Again, last four digits of your telephone number is 7935. Again, the last four digits of your phone number is 7935. Your line is open.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, this is Michelle Massett.
Hi,
Michelle. Hi, how are you guys? I have two things that I wanted to speak about, and one of them is how they're documenting youth as gang members because of who their family is. And I feel that that's not right, that they're documenting these kids, labeling them for something that they're not part of just because of who their family is. And another issue is, yeah, I've been incarcerated. I know I didn't do a lot of time. I'm currently still on probation, about to get off on probation in January, and I'm trying to find ways to get my visits back so I could be able to visit my husband who's currently incarcerated for 10 years.
Thank you for calling, Michelle. One
Thank
of the things,
you.
And again, this is a state issue for California. Different states are going to have different regulations and legal procedures. But in California, our gang documentation is conducted through something called field interviews, FIs. At that time, they look for different requirements, and they document people in gangs based on those. Now, these wonderful requirements equal being interviewed in a gang territory, which is a neighborhood, a community, three times. So if you live in a community they have said is a gang community, you will be documented legally. This is why we are so upset and we need to get involved, because what that carries is something called gang enhancements. So that means that if you are caught with a narcotic later on and the sentence is 2 years, if they choose to do a gang enhancement, it could be 7. It could be 12. Depending on which of the enhancements they use, because there's levels. I think it's 5, 10, 15 years on gang enhancements. So these are the things that are being used for black, brown, poor white, Asian, anyone who lives in these communities that they have identified as having gangs. There's been more research that there are gangs in affluent communities, but they're not looked at as being gangs. They can look at our community and say 3 or more people is a gang, they document that gang, and they use that enhancement. Trust me, make no mistake, this is purposeful. This is to keep people incarcerated for longer periods of time. In California, they're getting $50,000 a year off the head. This is making people rich. This is paying salaries for COs with an IQ of 80 at $250,000 a year. And we are fighting these. We do have some movement, Michelle, with Shirley Weber's bill that was just passed. It's not fixing the problem. It's reform, because basically now when they document us, we can now go and we can fight it. Before, there was no fight. Before, you could not go in front of a judge and say this is not true. In some instances, what they would do after they documented entire communities is they would do something called a gang injunction. That meant if you were seen, now you haven't committed a crime, you have not been convicted of a crime, but now civilly, if you are caught in your neighborhood, that means your mother's house or your grandmother's house, with your cousin or just by yourself, you can go to jail for a felony. A gang injunction. This same gang injunction, there was a very prominent Mexican neighborhood called Logan Heights in California, in San Diego, and it's next to downtown, and the land is expensive. They used the gang injunction to clear all the Mexicans out of Logan Heights and regentrify. Now you have these great art exhibits, these great, like, art communities in this million-dollar property based on stealing the land of people. So, Michelle, I feel you, and we're fighting.
Yeah, but we're going to fight this to the end until they realize, you know what, that they don't need to be documenting these youth. Leave these youth alone. Let them live their life and have a successful life.
I agree.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Michelle. I definitely agree. Get behind Michelle. She's out there organizing in San Diego, just getting started, looking for people to assist her. So if you're in that area, please link up with Michelle Massett. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.
In the interest of time, we do have time for about two more callers. I see that we do have several callers waiting on the line. We do appreciate all of our callers. And so I will go ahead and open up the line here at this point. We do have a caller. The last four digits of your telephone number is 2613. Again, the last four digits of your telephone number is 2613, and your line is open.
Good evening. My name is Qualencia McElroy. I was calling about on my husband's behalf. My husband served a life sentence in prison, and I have a question. It's a legal matter. He's been DR free for 19 years, and I really don't understand that about the state attorney using my husband's prior conviction when he was at age 16, and I want to know, can they use that to his prior sentence? And he's been doing research on his case now, and he's been writing different type of lawyers, and they've been sending him letters back saying that they can't help him. And he's been DR free for 19 years, and he has not been in trouble when he doing what he's supposed to do in prison by helping others. And I just don't understand why. How can they use his prior sentence when he was convicted when he was 16? And he's doing a life sentence now.
What does the ORC say about it? Have you checked the ORC?
No, I have not.
You've got to do that. The ORC is the Ohio Revised Code. It is the Constitution for the state of Ohio.
Mm.
Do that research. Please, you said he's in Cleveland, Ohio. I'm in Columbus, Ohio.
No, he's in state prison. He's in state prison.
But where?
And he's in Hardy Correctional.
In what state?
What state is that?
Florida.
Oh, I thought
Florida.
She said Cleveland.
No.
I apologize.
Ma'am.
Then what I'm going to say to you is check the law in the state he's in.
Okay.
To see if what they did matches what the law says.
Okay.
More than likely,
really
it does
don't
not.
I really don't understand.
Yeah,
he was
that.
16 at the time, and they used his prior conviction to for his sentence that he's doing now. Can they use that?
Check
in California,
state
they do it all the time.
And federal law to see if what they did is what it says in the law. That's the first step.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm going to
yep.
do some research on that ASAP.
And more than likely,
all right.
That'll lead you to some other, other things that you can use to help him. But you got
to
take
that my
first step.
As a wife to help my husband out, and I just got to go to step by step, and I'm just rely on God right now so he lead me the way, which way to go, so I can help my husband. So, plus he filed for a motion, and they denied him back in 2013 for his motion to get back into court and see what can there like lower his sentence. Because other attorneys told me that he don't have points, his points don't add up to a life sentence, and he filed for a clemency hearing, and we still waiting on that see if they're going to grant him for clemency.
Check the state and federal law and see if what they did matches the law.
Okay.
That's the first step.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And we do appreciate your question this evening. And I'm sure several people have these burning legal questions. So, you know, take the advice and do your research. It sounds like doing research, connecting, networking, linking up with advocacy groups, those are some very key steps. And, again, we do wish you success as you continue to fight for your husband's freedom. And we have time for one last caller this evening. I will be opening up the line for caller. Last four digits of your phone number is 1595. Again, the last four digits of your phone number is 1595. Your line is open.
Hello, how you guys doing? My name is Baylo. You know, I'm out of San Diego. I'm real good friends with Kevin Henderson, who called in earlier. And, you know, Layla's like a sister to me. You know, I spent over 25 years of my life, you know, in and out of prisons and juvenile institutions. You know, I pride myself on educating myself on various things of my interest. And unfortunately, prison and incarceration, you know, are a deep interest of mine. I think I have a lot to offer to a lot of these movements. I just came home. I've been home from prison for about 3.5 months. And what I'm noticing is there's no programs, you know, there's no things set up for people when they come home from prison to be successful. What they're doing now is they created the thing called AB 109 probation, where, you know, if you had a nonviolent crime, they place you on probation. And what these probation people are doing is, well, I guess what the AB 109 probation is doing is they are funded for several programs, domestic violence, anger management, you know, all these different things that a person may not even have a part of their history of why they went to prison, but they mandate you to go to these programs because they're getting funding for them. In order to continue to get the funding, they have to have bodies in these programs. So, you know, somebody like me who, you know, I'm working a construction job that I was, you know, helped with by Kevin, you know, and then I'm going to University of Phoenix Online College, you know, my days are really busy right now, you know. But they want me to attend 2-3 of these programs a day. And if I don't, I get violated, a 10-day flash back in incarceration. So this system is really, this whole situation is really deep. Like Layla was saying earlier, it's all based on economics. And we have to really find a way to connect the inside and the outside together in order to win this battle. The things you guys are doing are beautiful. You know what I mean? It really brings joy to my heart to hear you sisters on here advocating and going strong for the brothers behind those walls. And, you know, another sister was talking about, you know, some people not reading their cases and stuff like that. They sitting up in there and, you know, it's hard. You know what I mean? When they place all that time on your shoulders and you got kids and you got family, you know what I mean? And they, you know, they leave you buried in a cell, you know, with nothing. You know, it's hard. It's hard to get up in the morning and brush your teeth. You know, and that's something that you need to do. It's hard to exercise. You know what I mean? It's hard to read a book. You know what I mean? It's hard to open up your case and read what actually happened. And a lot of those guys in there really don't even know how to read. You know, it's not a high value on education right now in a lot of those impoverished communities. You know, we're dealing with a generation of people who mothers were on drugs, fathers were in prison. So they was raised by the streets. Education, there wasn't a high value placed on that. I used to be in there with a lot of young brothers told me, hey, babe, I've never been to church before. You know, personally, I'm a Muslim, but, you know, I understand the value in religion, you know, the disciplines and the principles and things that you learn in life. So it's a really, really deep situation, and we have to find a way to connect the inside and out. There's a lot of prison advocacy magazines and handbooks, and but we really need one book or magazine that everybody subscribes to. You know, I don't know how we bring prison legal news together with Double XL magazine, with Showgirl magazine. I don't know how you do that right there, but that needs to be done so we can not only fight for the things that need to be fought for, we can also expose the things that's going on, you know, because there's a lot of ugly going on on those prison yards right now. We're watching all these young black boys get killed by the police right now. You know, they're really dying in there, but it's not televised. It's not going to be caught on cell phone. And it's not being exposed. And it's ugly. A lot of cats is getting beat down. It's a fight on the yard. And subsequently, a young black boy gets shot on the other side of the yard when it's two, you know, probably white inmates fighting each other. And just, it's real ugly inside of there. And it's real hard. You know, it's not a lot of help. We need to take the economical dollar away from the system as well, you know. Places like Access Secure and Union Supply and Walking Herds, where we got to buy our TVs and our hygiene, and they're killing us. They raping us. You know what I mean? They're making us spend a dollar for a Top Ramen soup when you can get 10 of them in the free world for 99 cents. But there's no options. You can't go to, let me go to Ralph's or Albertsons or go over here and do that. So we have to, you know, also create a system to where we can feed, clothes, and provide the hygiene products to the people in there at an affordable price, because it's their families, the ones that have to pay for that. And it's a third world country in there. And that's what we need to understand as we're fighting these fights and fighting these battles. I'm here, you know what I mean? I do music. I have a lot of people who are interested in my life and things that's going on. I wrote a book called Jailbirds. I'm trying to release that. It's about my whole travels in and out of juvenile hall, Campo, you know, dealing with different judges and DAs. You know, they so ugly to us. You know, they talk about us like they know us, and they don't. You know, but what your sisters are doing is a great thing, and I really appreciate it. My email is Baylok, BAYLOC, music@gmail.com. I'm an author. I'm a rapper. You know, I have a voice. I have a beautiful mind and a deep understanding of what goes on in prisons because, you know, I've spent more of my life in prisons than I have outside of them, and I'm not proud of that. But I want to be a part of the movement and the change, and I know what needs to be done from the medical system to the mental health system to the solitary confinement. You know, I've been a part of all those processes. You know how they're keeping us away. You know what I mean? They're keeping us away from the law libraries. Every prison, that's not an open door policy. You don't get to just wake up in the morning and go to the law library. They got all kind of tricks to keep you out of there, and they're very low in technology. Like, I don't know, somebody was saying earlier how it's real technologies in the prison. Not in California prison, it's not. You know, so it's a real deep situation, and if we can communicate better with the prisons and the people out here that's fighting, I think the movement will go a lot faster and a lot more efficient.
Thank you so much.
Yep.
Baylok?
Yeah, I'm here.
This is Mama Condi. I'm the one that made the comment. I've got several points I want to respond to you. One, I'm the one that made the comment about there being more I'm an elder. When I was incarcerated, there was no technology in the jails and prisons. And now I've been working with brothers and sisters behind the walls for more than 45 years, and what I've noticed is behind some of the walls, they have all kinds of technology now, and the brothers are on the Internet, and they had found out about my work because they were permitted to go online and that kind of thing. So I was speaking from that particular experience, and
right.
I wasn't trying to make a generalized statement because I can't do that. I don't know every prison.
Right.
Two, I want to ask, have you had your, and do me a favor and just give me a yes or no because I'm trying to get to a point. Have you had your record expunged?
No.
Please find out the law on expungement where you are. Most of the places that I've researched, you have about a year, and it starts from the day you leave, okay? Right. So a lot of the problems you're having on the outside, once you expunge your record, it's incumbent on them to even prove you ever had a record.
And Mama Condi, you're correct. The only caveat in that is in California, if you go into prison, you can't expunge. That's why they're purposefully doing what they're doing to us, Mama Condi.
Well, the only way you can expunge is through the government in California.
Exactly.
The government has to expunge your record. You have to submit documentation to him and get it done. But I do respect everything you're saying, and I wasn't saying it like you didn't know what you were talking about or nothing like that.
Oh, no, I didn't
California,
take that kind of
oh, okay, so I'm just saying California is a monster within itself. You know, every state has their own economical. Yeah, every state has their own economical brand. You know, Texas, you know, they might have beef. You know, Detroit, they might have cars. California prides themselves on their economical growth is from prisons. Bottom line, we got the biggest prison system in the world. And they're out to get bodies to pay for their cars and their houses and stuff like that. It's a billion-dollar industry from the prisons to the medical, to the mental health, to the probation officers, to, you know, everything that's going on. So, you know, not only do we have to fight the fight of a lot of the issues that are going on in prison and the laws that need to be changed, we also have to fight the fight of steering the youth in another direction. Because the truth be told, a lot of us do things to get in trouble. It's just so ugly that, you know, they do us the way that they do us. You know what I mean? And so that's a big part of the fight too. You know, when the brother was talking earlier about the hip-hop caucus and, you know, having people like Snoop Dogg and Wiz Khalifa, and, you know, these dudes need to start, you know, steering people in their music. The youth are listening to their music, and, you know, a lot of these dudes are not saying nothing positive. You know, and I'm an artist, and I struggle with that too. I want to talk about, you know, a lot of stuff, but I got to talk about everything that's going on in my life. You know what I mean? I got to talk about what it's like, you know, to spend 23 hours a day in a cell for 2 years straight and get two letters out of the whole 2 years. You know, I got to talk about what it's like to not to have no deodorant and to have to put soap on your underarms so you don't smell yourself. You know, and an array of other things. I got to talk about what it's like to watch your kids grow up in pictures. But in the same token, we got to accept responsibility for our part in this. You know what I mean? So we have to also change the culture. You know, prison is a part of our culture now. I mean, you can talk to anybody about prison. If they haven't been, they know somebody who went. They got a family member in there. It's a part of our culture in America and especially in California. We all know about prison, and that's a shame right there. You know what I mean? It really is. And so we have to find a way to steer the youth from, you know, from heading in that direction right there because they're not going to school. Yes.
This is Mama Condi again.
I'm listening to you.
Two things. One, I know exactly what you're talking about. I spent all my time in solitary, and I didn't even have a parking ticket. The second thing is BCI, federal government. If memory serves me, BCI is federal government.
I'm not sure.
They're the ones that do the expungement, fingerprints and all of that. That's why I'm asking, would you please check that out, do the research, and if it's what you need, please follow up on it. And you can get the guy, you can get to know the guy, because I did. You can get to know him just by, you know, calling up there and communicating with him, you know, asking him questions. And they were real cool. It was one white guy, and he just kept, you know, he would talk to me. I'd call up there and talk and ask questions. And the next thing I knew, he was saying to me, oh, yeah, you still qualify. And he put it through. Next thing I knew, I was getting all my stuff back.
Wow.
The original print card and all of that. So just investigate it. That's all I'm asking you to do. Investigate it, do the research, and if it applies to you, and check the law and make sure that you're not being tricked. And it applies to you, go ahead and put it through. It's just a phone call. I didn't even have to write anything in writing.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you, D'Lo. We definitely appreciate, you know, you sharing your experience and your story and dropping those jewels on us. And, you know, you make some really great points, and definitely you highlighted the economics in the whole, the incentive, the economics from this. And, you know, the economics, they stem from the 13th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, and that is why we are that's our focus. That's what our aim is to have that 13th Amendment abolished or amended or however people choose to describe that. But that is the driving force behind the economics within the prison system. And that is the foundation all throughout the nation, definitely. And the second point that you made is the importance of connecting the inside to the outside. And, you know, here at the Millions for Prisoners of Human Rights, that is definitely something that we have taken very seriously. You know, we speak for the prisoners, we represent the prisoners, and they're excited. You know, the feedback that we've received, they're motivated. They're willing to join us here in this work that we're doing. Discussion is still being had, but definitely within our prisoners' organizing committees, they are thinking of ways to join us in solidarity in August of next year. And so we haven't quite come up with the finalization of that, but again, those prisoners on the inside, they are working hard to support us. They're behind us, and we are behind them. So with that collective unity, we definitely can expect some success. So I thank you so much for all of our callers this evening. I see that we have several additional people that wanted to join in on our discussions this evening. Some very interesting people, interesting topics. As always, definitely continue to get follow us, stay in contact with us, tune in next week to our broadcast. But I definitely want to encourage people to email us at the Millions for Prisoners March at Gmail. For all things, and someone definitely will be in touch with you. I did want to give an opportunity to my co-host to see if they had any closing words, and I would like to also welcome and allow Brother Mala Divine to give us a few of his thoughts before we close out this evening.
Hey. This is Mama Pondy, and I relinquish my time to Brother Mala.
Your sister did a wonderful job, wonderful job. Sorry I couldn't be there. Something else came up. But, like, what I want to say to all the people that's out there, you know, we want y'all to spread the word about the radio show, you know, ask or request, you know, two or three other people to listen in, as well as join our Facebook group, because, you know, the more people we get behind this movement, the stronger it could get. In America, everything is about numbers. So we need your help, but we can help ourselves. Me being formerly incarcerated to the last brother, B-Lo, I understand where you're coming from. Just stick in there and do what you got to do, man. It get easier. You know, you done went through the hard part a few times, so now you see what it is. It's their duty and their job to make it hard on you, because that's who they are by nature. So you got to understand, that's when you got to dig deep down inside and ask yourself, is it enough? Is it enough? And, you know, do whatever you need to do, man, to make sure you play the best hand you dealt with, even if it's all joking. And that's, you know, that's all I got to say about that. Just make sure y'all invite, you know, somebody else out next week, 7:30. Listen to the radio, No Shackles, as well as, you know, organize, go to the I Am We page, find the Millions for Prisoners Right March, join up, organize a local committee, because like I said, teamwork makes the dream work. Peace.
Thank you.
I think it might be Brother Malah.
Okay. We thank you so much, everyone, once again, for tuning in. As Brother Malah mentioned, get involved. Let people know about the show. Bring someone else with you to the show next week, next Saturday, October the 1st, same time, same place, same number. We will be having a special guest on next week who will be sharing a very interesting story with us, and as well as giving some advice and things along those lines. Once again, we thank you. All power to the people.
Read the
All power to the people.